There's another cognitive edge technique that we've used phenomenally, which is anecdote circles. Which is, for those of you who've come across it, it's the sitting around a table, social environment, and it's competitive storytelling. It's like the four Yorkshiremen. It's, you know, it's sitting around, oh, no, you had a bad manager. No, let me tell you about my manager. Oh, you think that was a bad day? The day we had to do. And everybody does it. And it's a fantastic thing. We did this for Department for Transport. We were doing it around leadership. But what was interesting, we trained people up internally and said, right, now you can go out and you do this. One of the things that was very interesting was they said, can we use this, please, for every project we run from now on to both unite the team at the start, because it is, it's a very powerful thing, but also at the end to capture what's happened. And what they do is they record it. Particularly at the start, what they found valuable was that everyone sits around and goes, oh, what was the best project you ever worked on? What happened here? What happened there? You've got to be quite careful with the prompt questions. But they said what they started to learn was, you know how you start off on a project and 3 months down the line, it's kind of got stuck and it's all getting a bit heavy. And then someone goes, you know, this happened the last time as well. Thanks. That would have been useful about 2.5 months earlier. Okay, running these things early on with everybody on the team, you start to go, hang on, didn't you do, because you said that, so what happened? And you get the context. Not only do you get the context of what decisions were made, what knowledge people gained, but people automatically take the learning out of that. And often you find it expands everybody else's horizons. Am I making sense here? We found that people who had come in with very fixed ideas would go going, do you know, I've just realized what I can do on my project now that I didn't actually think was possible, just by hearing and sitting in and listening to other people. So these are fantastic things. But I think you need to implement them as early as possible. Just have them as part of the social network. And it is social. It is. It's the equivalent of sitting around in the pub. You know, if you have a Friday night where everyone goes down the pub after work, it's what happens anyway. But bringing it in-house helps. I think you need to build the social networks if you really want to take hold of stuff and retain things as people leave. Mix the people who are the experienced, sorry Ron, greybeards, and the new guys coming in. And just let them have conversations and ask about what's happened. Don't try and codify it. Most of it doesn't work. And the other bit which we tend to get stuck on, and I can say this because I used to run internal comms, we tend to try and make it very businesslike. Is that actually an effective communication? Yeah. No, sorry, there's some offensive things being said in here. No, you've got to let it happen. You've got to let it be informal. You've got to let people tease. Any veteran worth their salt who's training up somebody new has a few little tricks you play. Yeah. I worked as an engineer at one point, and I got sent, can you go down to stores and get me a long wait, please? Just ask Bill for a long wait. Yeah, it turned out to be about 90 minutes. Or my favourite was actually being given the little tin canister with iron filings in, saying, these sparks for the grinder are dead, can you go and get new ones? I twigged by that point, but, you know, and in some places that's deemed as, you know, that's demeaning. That's not very PC, particularly if it's, you know, a different race or a different gender or anything like that. Allow it to happen. Okay? That social dynamic really works well. And once someone's taken their lumps and done something extremely stupid, actually other people will go, okay, now you're part of the team. Come and let me tell you what actually happened. You saw it all the time in places like IBM. Let it happen in your organization as well. The one thing I would say, however, on all of this, I said at the beginning, there's no magic bullet. There's no single process. I want to give you a new title, and that's pilot officer. What you need to be doing is starting to run small-scale pilots. If you pick up ideas from this conference, run it small-scale. Just find a bunch of people who are willing to join in and play, and then run it. Whether it's an anecdote circle, whether it's future backwards, whether it's semantic web stuff. Just try and do it small-scale, and make them social experiments. People love joining in pilots. You know, if you go out and there's a bunch of people who are excited about something, you go, look, We hear what you said and we want to try this. Would you be willing to get involved in a pilot? Most folk will go, yeah. And also by saying it's a pilot, A, you keep it low scale, low budget. The only resource you really need is your time and attention, and you need to make sure you're paying some. And also if it's a pilot, when some of them screw up, and some of them should, if they don't, you haven't been brave enough. then you've gone, yeah, we thought about that, we ran a pilot, we've learned this, we won't be doing that again. Here's what we learned, though, that's useful. So run pilots. If there was nothing else you went back with from this conference, I'd urge you to do that. Of course, don't run stupid ones. And bear in mind, for me, all of this is reinforced by this one quote. Every person's map of the world is as unique as their thumbprint. In dealing with people, you need to try not to fit them to your concept of what they should be or the organization's concept of what they should be. And to be honest, the same goes for knowledge. I'd say run pilots. And the other thing I'd just say is be brave.